This is an interview with Mr. Simon Curry for the Youngstown State University Oral History Department at 2344 Shawnee Trail, Youngstown, Ohio, on Friday, November 17th, 1978, at 11:10 a.m.
Okay, Mr. Curry, let's start with sort of a brief biography of yourself. Tell me where you were born, educated, what your job is.
Well, I was born in Youngstown. Educated at Sacred Heart School, East High School. Won a few months at Youngstown State, Youngstown College at the time. Mm-hmm. That's all. Now I'm working for Fisher Body out of Lordstown. And I'm married to Martha Raphael, Columbus. I have three sons, Mark, Anthony, and John. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
What year were you born?
1930, mm-hmm. June 16th.
When did your father come to this country?
April 1910.
Why did he leave that life?
Well, I guess for a better life. Most of the people that, you know, mm-hmm. he was fairly well educated over there and by their standards. And my mom came here hoping, you know, a couple of years and make enough money to go back, pay off some debts at that time. A lot of Lebanese people were getting into, I don't know how, you know, for what. And they left, you know, their home, hoping they could find, you know, the American dream that we're still dreaming about today. And, but they never went back, either.
Never.
That's all they talk about, though, you know, day in and day out, you know. Mm-hmm. It was about Lebanon, about you know, their relatives, their brothers, you know, sisters, or whatever, you know. But their dream never materialized to go back home. Then once they started having a family, the war came on. Then, you know, Depression, Second War, whatever. I don't know why they never went back.
What village was your father from?
Galbu, in English.
Where was that?
That's in Bibles, Bible they call it. And that's the Bible was named after Bibles. We got the word for the name for the Bible. It's about, I'd say, about maybe 20 miles north of Beirut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What type of education did he have? Do you know?
Not really. He went school in this village in Ed, they call it. Mm-hmm. How many years, I don't know, but see, his uncle, his father's brother, was the priest of the village, and he had a school at home there. And, you know, there was always students at the house learning, their mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm.
Okay, did he ever tell you anything about the trip to the United States?
Funny you should ask. Yeah, he wrote a poem about it. He wrote a poem about it, about them leaving, you know, the village and getting to Beirut and their friends, you know, coming to see them there and his father. Yeah, and how they left there and then, you know, then Lebanon just became like a mist, you know, Beirut, the ship, you know, left the harbor with, you know, coming, and it went, I think, from there to Alexandria on the Red Sea. And then there was water, but I don't know where it sat. I know he had a bark as far as to Marseille. Yeah, I still have that in his writing. I think he wrote it in pencil on this sheet of paper. We still have it.
Did he write it in Aramaic?
Arabic. Yeah. Be nice to get someone to translate. I mean, you know, it's pretty touching, you know, moving and real descriptive.
Did he tell you about the trip over? Were there a lot of other Lebanese with him?
There was, besides my mother, there was, that I remember, three others that came to Youngstown mm-hmm. from our village. Mm-hmm. Guy's name was Nassif and Satu Thomas and Francis York.
Yeah.
Nassif and Satu, they had no children. He had went back to your country, I think, in 22 and died there. And Satu, she stayed here. In fact, she was housekeeper at the parish for a while there. St. Mary's Church.
She was which,
For Monsignor Eve. She was a housekeeper. And then there was Francis George, and he married Mary Nakely Rizzick. And he had two sons here, Francis George and Ferris George. Yeah.
Why do you think they came to Youngstown? Why not New York?
Of all the damn places, boy, they could have picked, I don't know. I don't know why. I really don't. There's so darn many cities, maybe, I don't know, I guess it's fate or what. I know, her mother came here. Her mother came here, that my grandmother was here.
That was probably.
Yeah. I guess that's why they came. Then they had, I guess, this a few relatives that had come before. Maybe not relatives, but from the area. You know, people they had grown up with and knew came here. There were some in New York. No, the Cincinnati, Columbus bunch come later where they had relatives, but they come after that.
There wasn't any particular, say, industry or jobs that would have attracted Lebanese people in this area?
No. Not a guy like my father, really. Because, you know, he was more or less like the poet, writer bit, you know, at the time he met. And I don't think there was much chance of him ever going into a mill. But,
what did he do? What kind of job? Okay, what about the rest of the people? What kind of jobs did they have?
Well, some went into dry goods, some had beer gardens, some went into the mill. In fact, we had three or four in the dry goods business that did quite well. Mm-hmm. We had a couple that really prospered real good from the beer garden. And then we had, you know, a good bit in the grocery business that did quite well.
Did, when they opened up businesses, was it near the Lebanese community?
Yes, at first, and then they branched out and they, you know, had children here and, you know, moved out into other areas. And then, you know, wherever they moved, you know, over and maybe something when they got a few dollars from working. Oh yeah, then a lot, I should have said, went peddling from door to door. You know, they'd take like pillowcases, tablecloths, bedspreads, shirts, you know, underwear, you know, women's undergarments, and they would go different doors. They'd go like to Hillsville, Lowville, and they would spend the night there. And then they finish up the next morning, you know, then work back in towards town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then they, in fact, some woman made some darn good money doing it. Real good money.
Were these articles homemade?
No. They would buy them. Mm-hmm. They would buy them, like, from the different wholesalers. And they'd go out and, I don't know how they did it, because they couldn't even speak English. Really, in fact, some of them, when they died 40 years later, still, were, you know, very poor English, because they lived in a Lebanese community, you know. Like even the woman, like were widows or were here without their husbands or their children there, you know, in Lebanon. When they'd come home, you know, at night, they would have a room in somebody's house, Lebanese, and, you know, all their conversations and everything, you know, was Arabic, you know, their hope, you know. And how these people managed to do as well as they did is really amazing. And, yeah, and then getting back to the businesses, you know, the people moved out from the downtown area. Now I'm not talking about all of the Lebanese. Now, this is one particular, like, area,
mm-hmm.
you know, that lived down around Boardman Street. It's the bend there. They used to call it Basin Street, you know, around Basin, Boardman there. Because there was some, like, a apartment building. And they would, you know, live in there.
Did most of the people live in apartments rather than homes?
Yeah, when they first came, yeah. I don't think any of them came to a home.
Do you have any idea what the rent would have been?
No. I know they used to have, even like when they'd have their wakes, you know, they would have it out, like they'd have the body out there, you know, by the apartments, and then people would come, you know, not kneel, but, you know, in the evening, you know, pay their respects.
They have the body outside?
Yeah, they used to have it there.
Would people come in and sit in? Would it be something like an Irish wake almost that you've heard about, or is this a Lebanese wake?
Well, the preacher would come, they'd have the, you know, the prayers and vespers and services, whatever you want to call them, for the dead, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the people would, you know, stay with the body. The next day they would, you know, take the body into the church for burial. That was before, you know, St. Mary's Church, you know, started.
Would the family have, say, sit up with the body all night?
Yeah. You know, whatever family they had at that time, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, there wasn't really that many here. And, you know, a lot of them came, you know, then a lot of them brought their children later. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, you know, left their children over there.
You mentioned, you know, people living in a Lebanese community. Do you remember any particular street names that were involved here besides the ones you've mentioned?
Well, no. See, that there, like the people from this Bayou Batroun area, they more or less lived down in that area there. And other ones, I think they lived, some were on the north side. I'm not too well versed, you know, where they, you know, first came and settled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, some of them, I think, went to the cathedral. You know, it used to be St. Columba. All right. Some, like our people, were went to cathedral, and also to St. Cyril's and Methodius. We have, you know, Lebanese children that were baptized there before, you know, St. Mary's was started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The church on Wilson Avenue, was it called St. Mary's?
Yeah. From its inception, it's been St. Mary's. It still is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Am I correct in this? Did they move to Sheehy for a while?
Yeah, in about 1944, I think, we moved to Sheehy.
And again, that was St. Mary's.
Yeah, right. It was the old Sheehy School.
Mm-hmm. What about non-Christian Lebanese in the area? Do you remember any traces of them or any connections?
Oh, I never met any non-Christians there. There were some, we have, you know, Orthodox Lebanese, and there's some Malkites, which is, I guess, the American equal to the Byzantine rite, the Malkite. But the first when I met any non-Christian was, you know, like up around the college when the boys started coming here. Yeah, and in the 50s, you know, but before that, you know, I never knew of any. In fact, there's a few from people here, you know, from Yemen, and a couple from Palestine, you know, a few from Palestine. Mm-hmm. No, non-Christian Lebanese, though.
Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned they thought that perhaps one reason non-Christians didn't come here was because there were a lot more than one wife, and they couldn't do that. They couldn't adapt their culture, you know, in fact.
Oh, that could be, but I don't know. I never heard too much about that.
Okay, yeah, most of them have. Okay, what about the church in the community? Now, there's been, so far as I can tell, three Lebanese churches, three Maronite churches. They had on Wilson Avenue, they had on Sheehy, they have the one now in Meridian. Right. What about the place of the church in the community? How important is it to the Lebanese community?
Now,
back
before,
then.
Before, it was everything, really. It was everything. You used to have services like during the whole month of May, the whole month of October. You used to have a novena to St. Marin. You used to have Christmas novena. And then Holy Week. And every Friday night we have the Saints of the Cross and the benediction. The church is always full, really. And there was always something there, you know. Plus, you have a lot of fairs, card parties at least once a month. that brought in, you know, a good number of people. And the kids, I remember especially, you know, as boys from the east side, we're always there, and the boys and girls from the east side. Mm-hmm. We're all, you know, within walking distance, you know, 5 minutes away the most. And we were always there, and it played a, it was a, I guess this, the central, the focal point of our, you know, life at that time. And like Palm Sunday, we used to have the procession, palms, and we'd go out around the church, you know, and that would be actually the children's Easter, you know, everybody get their new suits.
Yeah.
Palm Sunday, you'd walk around and have candles decorated, we'd all share the candle. It was very pretty to see, you know, very nice. And on every, I think it just started in the Latin Rite, but it was always, Mary and I write a midnight mass on it, Easter night. And it used to be fun with San Borja, we'd take eggs in our pocket. And after mass, we'd break the eggs, you know, see who had the hardest egg. You know, one guy would hold the egg in one hand, you'd hit it at the top, you know. Just leave a little space, mm-hmm. the top to hit it. Yeah, sometimes you can come home with 15, 20 eggs if your luck was good, if you had a good egg. And the church was really, everything centered around the church.
Do you remember the church on Wilson Avenue? You told me the date.
I don't remember. It was sometimes, I think, the late 20s or so, Ron then when they acquired it, maybe before, but I really don't know the dates, but yeah, no, I remember it real well, because I had my first Holy Communion there, and I was confirmed there. And then I was, 14, when we moved up on Sheehy. Oh yeah, I remember it well.
Did they deal with the first communion the same way they do now? Was it pretty much the same process? Or?
Well, now it's changing a little bit, you know, some churches. But they have the child and their parents receive, or the kids will take their first Holy Communion like in February, but then for the good weather, you know, the pictures and that, they do it again in May, you know. No, ours was always around June. And, you know, all in the white, the boys, you know, and the girls with the, you know, pretty veils and the white dresses. Get your prayer book, your scapular. You know, trip again today. Mm-hmm. That was real nice. Nice ceremony. You got the altar decorated. You have like a little archway with white and green, with, you know, fern around it. Real pretty.
What about the instructions for your first communion?
Well, we, like myself, I went to the Sacred Heart, you know, we received natural, you know, religion there. Then for the kids, there were a few at that time who went to public school. Now they had Miss Hines, I think Miss Matts. Those are the two I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to come every Sunday and teach, you know, the children.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go. You had to go. My senior head at that time, we made sure we went. You know, if you didn't go, you wonder if you were sick or something.
Would he scold you if
you
didn't go?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He'd have that record the next Sunday. He was Mrs. Hines and Mrs. Mattis. Mrs. Dumont, I think, was one of them, too. And Mrs. Dumont, yeah. They would, like, have, you know, attendance record like they do at regular school.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who weren't there, you know, you had to come up with a good answer the following week. And if you lived on the east side, it was bad to say, like, you were sick or your mother or father were sick, because he was darn well whether they were or not.
So you didn't have any
excuse? No.
You were talking before that it was called Sunday School?
Yeah, it's called Sunday School. Well, CCD, you know, mm-hmm. call it now, but then it wasn't. Then I think you only went to about the 5th or 6th grade that we, mm-hmm. you know, once we were confirmed, you know, we didn't have to go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any of the high school kids going, you know, like they do now.
Yeah.
No, they didn't have that then.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to about the 5th or 6th grade, not the
I guess at that time, those two, let's say, parents were different. They lived a different life. There wasn't as many interruptions as now. You know, wasn't no little league. You want to play baseball, you went out in the street, you know. You could play 15, 20 minutes, you never had to worry. You know, no cars coming, you know. And yeah, I guess they figured at that time you got enough religion. Not you got enough, but you got your religion at home. You know, your parents pretty well supervised it. Mm-hmm. And taught you, you know, quite a bit. And, but no, we didn't have to go as long as today.
What about the confirmation? I remember about that. This has changed a little bit over the years, I think. What do you
think? Well, we just have to, while we had a practice, I remember the hymns in Latin. And,
In Latin?
In Latin, oh yeah. And I mean, I was going to say senior. Bishop McFadden, he was either the auxiliary or coadjutor up in Cleveland, I don't remember. He was the one to confirm my class in 42.
You know, was this a Roman bishop or was this
a Latin rite?
Okay.
Yeah, we're under the, you know, the Latin jurisdiction. And Bishop McFadden confirmed our class. There's about 20 of us or so at that time. We always had to wear the red tie, signifying, you know, the flame, you know, the red of the flame. We were the Holy Ghost because we were becoming soldiers of Christ. Yeah.
What did the girls wear? Did they have to wear red hair ribbons?
I think, you know, my sister Julia, she had her cover. I think that's about all they had. I think white dresses.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture somewhere. I have to find it. But I don't think it would tell the color. You know, it's black and white. But you know, you can see if the girls had bows on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they did a ribbon. And we had to practice the hymns in Latin. And there was a song you used to sing when the bishop was in the church. It's case of Gerald's Mod Usher song, I don't remember. Yeah.
So then once you were confirmed, then that sort of the end of your formal religious education.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you have, you went to Sacred Heart, did you have daily religion class then?
Oh, yes. Every day. That was the first subject they taught every morning was religion.
Mm-hmm. You come in and you say a prayer.
Yeah, we used to have to kneel down by our desk, kneel down and say, Our Father, Hail Mary. And, use Mary and Joseph, you know,
mm-hmm.
a couple of ejaculations, and sister was coming, but that's all. If she wasn't, boy, she'd jack off four or five more. And kneeling on that hardwood floor, you know, wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that was the first subject of the day down at Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the weddings from the early years and around here?
Yeah.
What were they like?
Well, they were always a two-day affair. They would get married like Saturday morning, and then, you know, at night the reception would be more like dancing with drinks and, you know, like hors d'oeuvres or something just
mm-hmm.
to help you, you know. And then on Sundays, the whole parish would come, and, you know, you'd all sit down, you know, and eat. You know, sometimes you sit down three or four different times, the people didn't have that many people there. Yeah, but when we were growing up, and I guess it's all about, I'd say around end of the 50s, whenever, you know, any Lebanese got married, whether it was to another Lebanese or non-Lebanese, the father used to invite off the altar, you know, would be a general invitation.
Mm-hmm.
But like now, you know, you're having a wedding, you know, 300 are coming, or 500, whatever, no.
You pretty much assumed the church was coming.
Yeah, right. The whole parish would be there, right.
What about when they were working on the church and stuff? In some churches, the men give a certain amount of time, say, to repairing the church or building up the church, or did they have anything like that?
Oh, yeah. When we remodeled, you know, after, see, we purchased Shee High School,
mm-hmm.
and we used one half of it. The bottom floor was the, like, the hall for entertainment. The second floor was the church. And the third floor was, you know, Father's quarters, the rectory. Mm-hmm. So around 47, and again in 53, you know, they remodeled it. In 47, then the one side that was used, that was converted into a church. And then the church, where it was on the second floor, actually, had a two floors for entertainment, you know, first and second floor. Then in 53, we did some more remodeling. And all the fellas came up and did all the painting. Took us about a week, painted everything, you know, the hall, the churches. And it was real nice. Some 20 fellas came every day, and we worked till about midnight.
On the weekends
nice.
Or through the week?
No, through the week.
How did they get the time?
Mm-hmm. After work, every night.
Oh,
we start up there about maybe 6, 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock. You get 20 guys painting, you do a lot of painting. And we painted everything. Father's house, we painted the two halls, we painted the stairways and all, you know, those were pretty high and big, you know. And it was really a real nice, looked at us, worked really funny. We really enjoyed ourselves doing a lot of joking and, you know, laughing, climbing around. We had a lot of fun. Guys like that didn't know how to paint, they would carry, you know, paint for us, you know, mix paint, make sure, you know, stir it and all, make sure it was right consistency, and they carried it over to us. It was real enjoyable.
It was almost essential.
Yeah, right, for the guys. Right.
Did the priests of the church always have a rectory right near there, or did they have to, did they live right next to the church always?
That's mine, always down on Wilson Avenue. You went through the sacristy, from the church to the sacristy into the priest's house. And on Shehi, you come out the side door of the church, went up to the third floor to the father's quarters there. And here, now, you know, walk through the St. Ephraim's in the father's house. They're always close to it. Never had any outside homes.
Mm-hmm.
Or not outside homes, but homes, you know, away from the church. They had to drive to and from every day, you know.
Do you remember the priest?
Oh, yes. Well, there's only, because my senior had it. I think he baptized me, yeah, I think he came before I was born, the year before. 29, yeah, he was here 10 years, 29 to 39. Yeah, he baptized me. And then Father Reed was named administrator after his death for a while, before he was given the pastorship. And then Father Taya, and now Father Eshka.
You mentioned that in the early days they had traveling
church. Oh, I guess just my father used to tell me, yes, because we had no church, you know, until 1910.
Mm-hmm.
And what they, you know, these different priests would visit the different communities. And they would go around, you know, to wherever there's, you know, like 7 or 8 different Lebanese families.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they would go up, like, say, St. Cyril's and Methodius. The priest would go there and they would get permission, like, to have a mass at a certain time Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They would have International Maronite Mass. They'd go to the cathedral, or even some time they went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. They were close, you know, to, I guess, when all our people came here from different areas of Lebanon, wherever they did live, it was always real close to that front, Boardman, Carmel, you know, Federal, and Ray and Watsby, but all around, you know, center of town.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the churches that were mostly used by our people mm-hmm. at first.
Did they go to the Latin Mass then other times?
Yes, oh yeah. I think they went. They said they did.
I'm not sure if we touched on this or not, but what about language barriers among the people? Do you remember, you mentioned that some of the people never learned English. Did they then always try to, say, go to Lebanese businesses and patronize Lebanese stores rather than go.
Well, they did, you know, really, they were good like that. If there was one nearby, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would. But then, you know, depends too, you know, on the area where you're at, you know, where you live. If there was any there,
mm-hmm.
you know, they would, oh yeah, they would patronize their own. Because a lot of that, they brought in, you know, products that you use, like the wheat for our, you know, main dish can be, you know, like you won't walk into a A&B or into a, say another grocery store, you know, mm-hmm. was not letting me don't find this stuff, you know, certain kind of olives they use and the cheeses and that.
Mm-hmm. So they would almost have to go there to get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, it's funny though, it seems like these people, even though it's like some of them didn't master the English language, especially if they were talking with another foreigner. You think really it's like a, sounded like a tape going backwards, all of them talking in English, and yet they all understood each other. And you know, us real smart born here people, you know, couldn't figure out a darn thing they were saying, but yet they all understood each other.
They could overcome whatever
fear. Right, right.
Were children encouraged to work in the Lebanese community?
Go
out and get a paper route or a job or whatever?
I don't remember too many of us having paper routes. But always you had to work, yeah. I really think for tough in those days. They really were. You know?
What do you remember about the Depression? You were born just at the end of it.
Well, it actually didn't get over until around 40, 41. Yeah. That's around the war. So I was 9, 10, 11 years old at that time.
Do you remember any particular problems that your father had or your family had because of
finances? Oh, always getting jobs, you know, that was the thing. Getting jobs. Like, I don't think any of our people ever were on relief, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pride for one thing, that was still any, you know, I was, but, no, but as far as remember, you know, because I got, you know, known a lot of people that used to, you know, and they'd come over to the house, they would, you know, a lot of the fellas, the men would come sit with my dad, they'd talk, they would talk all day long, you know, but there's no job to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would have some of them on, maybe they'd work 2 days this week, you know, we'd just give them, like, token amount of work, you know, keep on payroll up for different companies.
Mm-hmm. How did they manage?
I don't know. Well, of course, you don't have what you have today, so, you know, what do you have it on? Radio the most mm-hmm. of your luxury? You know, were they, I don't know how they managed. A lot managed to send money to the old country, you know, to their families. Yeah, a lot did, how they did it, I don't know.
Maybe they just didn't expect as much as we do today.
Could be too, maybe them too, you know, but they'd go down, maybe buy a whole lamb or half a lamb. You'd be surprised, you could cook off of that thing for a whole week. You know, well, I don't think that the business stores then were as great as now for them, you know, and they baked their own bread. Like my mom, she baked and she sold bread ever since I can remember, you know,
mm-hmm.
her and my sisters would put on almost every day. They baked 50 to 100 pound of flour. She made a lot of bread, you know, and that's what kept us going. They're selling the bread, you know, it was like a little business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kept us going. But, you know, when you make your own, you know, in a home, it's actually a lot less. Today, I had to go out and buy anything, no matter which one, but giving a cake from scratch, it would cost you more than going to the bakery and buying one.
Probably.
But, that's the most of the, you know, our people, but they, you know, they cooked all, you know, our own national dishes, you know, like along the way, they picked up, like, spaghetti and all, you know, other, you know, national stuff, you know, of their neighbors, you know, and made that. But most everything they made was, you know, around, you know, everything that they could make themselves, their noodles and all.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother put in long hours? I think she worked long days.
Oh, yeah, I think she worked, you know, real hard. She had, you know, she's had to get up early to get the, to make the dough, right? we'd have better set for Walter Ray, and then, you know, besides her housekeeping chores, you know, she had, you know, to go back down, do the baking, get, you know, get the, cut the dough into little balls and get it ready, you know, to bake into our bread. And, oh yeah, she, I thought, she, you know, spending considerable amount of time, you know, in her work.
Mm-hmm. She
had
a washing machine?
How'd
she do
that? After a while, she did. Yeah, I remember the washboard. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had the washboard, you know, for a while. And then she got the little by little, you know, got the electric washers, and, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And she'd hang her clothes inside in the winter?
Yeah, inside in the winter. Mm-hmm. Outside, you know, just when the weather turned nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.